Hey, are you looking to buy a new car? Are you stuck in a high-rate loan and looking to refinance? Well, UK Federal Credit Union can help. Right now, UK Federal Credit Union has auto loan rates as low as 3.24% APR. You can apply for an auto loan online at ukfcu.org or in person at the dealership. You can get your dream car today. It's UK Federal Credit Union, banking only better.
Annual percentage rate. Member qualifications apply. Rates subject to credit approval and subject to change. For full disclosures and cost details, call 800-234-8528. Federally insured by NCUA.
He's going to the house. Charles Walker, 10-5, touchdown, Kentucky.
I wonder how y'all going. Y'all gonna miss one hell of a game.
For the ball.
It's on the way. Plenty of leg.
Good!
It's football time in the Bluegrass. You're listening to the KSR Football Podcast.
Welcome into the KSR Football Podcast presented by UK Federal Credit Union. Welcome to Better Banking, UKFCU. Give them a call at 859-264-4200. UK Federal Credit Union is the presenting host of the KSR Football Podcast. I'm Nick Roush. Today, talking with Drew Franklin, Charles Walker, and Freddie Maggard after a loss to the 8th-ranked Auburn Tigers. Kentucky went to the Plains, and they unfortunately couldn't get it done. I don't know about you, Charles Walker, but there was a couple mistakes on Saturday that I actually grabbed. I had to, like, actually throw things in order to – like, calm down.
Yeah, you know, and it seemed like our mistakes came at the most pivotal points in the game. So, I'm right there with you.
It was the word they kept using, Freddie, was situational football. And I just love that, like, it means, like, we were either really good and made big plays or we really sucked and made bad plays when we needed to make big plays.
Yeah, situational football, that's exactly right, you know. It was really a tale of two halves, you know. You started at halftime or near halftime. Chris Rodriguez, you know, in my opinion, that was a touchdown. Interception, targeting, comeback, Kentucky, you know, the first two drives stalled out, got off schedule. And then, you know, Auburn had the turnover, then Auburn scored the fake punt. Auburn scored, so Kentucky got off schedule, and that's what happened. And then you just had to mismatch with Seth Williams, who is just a tremendous football player. And you know what? Football happens. He's going to win 50-50 balls on a high percentage basis. So, you know, just some things happened. The holding call there on 2nd and 8, that hurt Kentucky really bad. So, going forward, Kentucky can't beat itself, and I think they're going to talk about that at length at the facility today.
That's a nice way to put it, Freddie. We're going to talk about it at length, a.k.a. some folks are going to get yelled at quite a bit. but I did think that, like, you know, of course there were some good things, but damn it, Drew, like you can make some of those mistakes against Eastern Michigan or Toledo, but you can't make those mistakes against a top 10 team in Auburn.
No, and the mistakes were pretty bad, and we're above moral victories as a program with how Terry looked outside of his major turnovers and some of the other stuff. I'm still a little confident moving forward, even though I'm still a little angry at how it all played out. But I think Kentucky overall showed us enough that they'll be just fine as a football team this year.
Yeah, and I think if you're
– I agree, Drew.
Like, if there was a worry at all, It's that it's kind of what the boss man said, and it's kind of what I was thinking too. It sucks not having a Seth Williams that you can go to, or a Benny Snell, or a Lynn Bowden in just one of those big situations. Like, hey, go make a play for us. That part kind of stinks, but like you said, Freddie, I think there's a lot still to like about this football team moving forward.
Yeah, Kentucky did a lot of good things. It outgained Auburn, ran 78 plays compared to, 57, something of that nature. It was 12 of 19 on third down. But, you know, you can't go play a ranked opponent and lose the turnover battle 3-0 and go 1-for-3 in the red zone scoring touchdowns and expect to win. And I think, in my opinion, the turnovers and red zone lack of scoring touchdowns are a couple things that really hurt Kentucky down at Auburn.
Well, and that doesn't even count the fake punt. It's basically a fourth turnover, gave Auburn a short field.
Yeah.
Which, Charles, you look very upset.
did they ask Stoops about that today?
Yeah, I asked him about it after the game. Essentially, I don't know what y'all would call it, but he had the green light going in. Max did. If he got this read, then he was good to go. And Stoops is like, I should have taken that off when they got up 9 instead of 2. And then somebody whiffed on a block. Auburn guy makes a good play, and Max never really had a shot. But, yeah.
Yeah, I knew they kind of gave him the green light. It looked like one of those where, again, he's one of our best players. I mean, he has 8 yards with his foot 1 inch from the goal line. He pops off a 75-yard punt, completely flips the field. And that ball, if it didn't roll out of bounds, could have possibly rolled into the end zone. I mean, I've never seen a punt like that. When I was playing, he kind of did have that green light where, hey, if you got it, go. And it just goes to show you that, God, if we get one block there and – you know, the guy's blocking probably thought, all right, he's punting it, we're good, and then he didn't, and then you go, oh, shoot. No, just right when we're in the game, that Rodriguez thing kills it all. We'd be up 6 points, or maybe we go for it and are up 8, or sorry, 7. Going into halftime with the ball, we can play our game, we can run, we can get in third and situation, or third and short, play action, back. Our running backs on their linebackers, flat routes, boom, first down, go. But I've just never played a football game where your whole body can be across the end zone and then not call it a touchdown. But when I played grade school football, that was a touchdown. When I played high school football, that was a touchdown. When I played college football, that was a touchdown. For some reason, now it's not a touchdown. I don't know.
So I might have a little birdie who kind of gave me a little bit of insight into what happened in that situation. A, the line judge just messed up. Like, you call that a touchdown, and then you go to replay to confirm it. You don't do it the other way around. When it's that close, you just call it, and then you go to replay. But I did find out that there's supposed to be a camera guy at the goal line every single time. For whatever reason, the camera guy got held up, quote unquote, and couldn't make it to the goal line, which, like, it's a big damn sideline. You can get up and down pretty quickly. Like, I don't know if the guy had to stop and get a water break and just miss the play or what the deal was, but they didn't have a guy there, so they didn't have inconclusive evidence to overturn it, yada yada yada, and then that ends up happening. And
God, how about your whole body in the end zone? Is that not inconclusive?
I mean The part where, like, they have an actual overhead view, and it's like his waist is at the end zone. I mean, it's inexplainable. But I think the tough part is you're going to get some bad breaks from time to time, but you need to react to them appropriately. And you know, I think, in my mind, if I'm like, I thought Eddie Grant called a great game, Freddie. Maybe in that situation, you do the thing where you get Terry under center, and everybody thinks he's doing a quarterback sneak, and then you do the play action bootleg. Like, that's a great spot for it, you know.
Well, the play after the Rodriguez fiasco, Terry, the Auburn defender had Terry Wilson by the face mask, pulling his head back.
Yeah,
so,
well,
yeah. I mean, that's two in a row there. So, but, you know, Kentucky had, what, 20, 25, 26 seconds left to go with no timeouts. I mean, you got to throw the ball in that instance, yeah. You know, throw it into the end zone. Terry just, you know, they said, Coach Stoops said a wide receiver had a busted assignment and wasn't in the right place, and Terry went with the right place with the football, and the defender shouldn't have been there, but he was. So, yeah, it's yeah. Tough.
It was, I want to get into some positives, but Chuck, it wasn't a good game for your wide receivers.
No, it wasn't. Gosh, I don't know. It seemed like we dialed up a lot of those little screenplays. They worked. They were good, but I'm just kind of sick of some of the ball carriers, whether it be running back or receivers, not gaining the 1 to 2 to 3 yards when they're going down. Seems like you just get hit and you're like, all right, I got hit at the 48. I'm going to fall at the 48, or I'm going to fall at the 47. I'm like, what? I don't get why we don't fall forward. Seems like we never do it.
Or and cutting out of bounds, yeah.
We're putting these second and twos when it could just be first and 10. It's like, God, just get the extra 2 yards. I understand you can run out of bounds sometimes, but God.
There was a couple times where I'm like, all right, ref, that's a horrible spot. Like AJ had one where I thought he was at the sticks and they call him a yard short. Terry had a slide where I was like, dude, he finished his slide 3 yards past the sticks. Like, I get that the slide starts sooner, but like, come on. So I'm going to be mad at the refs. I'm going to be mad in general. And I'm also going to be mad at, like, it's not the getting guys open thing that I think some of it is putting guys in spots to succeed. So you have like Alan Daly catching screen passes. Like Alan Daly, he can make some plays down the field. He can make some good blocks. He's not exactly a speed guy to like make guys miss at the line of scrimmage. And then the one that really killed me, Freddie, is they use a ton of tight ends in this game. Brendan Bates was split out a lot. Justin Rigg was split out a lot. But you had on that holding penalty with Keaton Upshaw was in pass pro and Riggs running a route. Later on down the stretch, you've got Rigg running a wheel route that like was a catchable ball. It was tough, but like that would have been a good spot to have Upshaw man running that route. And I think some of this opening game stuff, you have your guys in the right place, and I don't know if everybody was in the right place that they needed to be in week one.
Yeah, and then, you know, you look forward to week two. You know, Kentucky's going to have to score some points to keep up. Ole Miss is going to score, I'm telling you right now. They will score a lot of points, and Ole Miss can score in bunches. So, you know, Kentucky's going to have to score. And, you know, in my opinion, that Kentucky's going to have to slow the game down by living in a slot. You know, I bring that term, sustained long offensive possessions, mm-hmm. and get a turnover or two to take away from the number of possessions that Ole Miss is going to have. So, you know, Kentucky's got to score. And I think, you know, Florida threw for 400 and something yards against Ole Miss last week. Mm-hmm. You know, their secondary is suspect. I think Kentucky's going to have to line it up and run at Ole Miss and keep the ball and keep it on the ground and use some play action. But Ole Miss gave up some shots, so this may be the week that we see those deep shots completed.
You like slop. I like LSD, long, sustained drives. And Kentucky did do that. So let's talk about some good things that happened, like just some things that you're like, man, you know what? That was great. And, Drew, I'm curious what were some of the things that you thought went right for Kentucky, because – like, even though that Kentucky lost to a top 10 team, they did go toe to toe with them for three and a half quarters.
Well, I like that they scored more touchdowns than they were given credit for. We'll start with that. Chris Rodriguez touchdown looked great. I know we've already touched on that, but I even liked what my boy Boss Man Fat did. Now, he absolutely got mossed, and I don't like that he kept talking. He had an awful penalty. We have lots of bad things to say for Boss Man Fat, but I saw the potential there. In number one in the secondary. Not many people, I think, are speaking very highly of him on this Monday.
Yeah, and you know what? They should be not so mad at him because, A, like, it takes a hell of a personality to get mossed on like that and still be talking trash afterwards. I love the confidence. But, like, Seth Williams could have had a touchdown right before it on the same exact play, and he played it perfectly. Like, Williams didn't have a shot to get it. He basically forced him out of bounds, and that was right before – I mean, Bo Nix dropped that one in the bucket, and then Williams caught it like 10 and a half feet in the air. Like, that dude's just – he's pretty good, Chuck.
Yeah.
He's not going to be the only person that Seth Williams mosses this year.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. But I did like Boss Man Fett's attitude. What I loved, and it doesn't really show up on the – in the box score, Freddie, he only accounted for 4 tackles, 1.5 for a loss. Not a bad start. But Josh Pascal, man, that dude was all over the place. And early on, he made some of those plays that, like, he was in the right spot, but, like, I just the game is moving real fast in that first series or whatever. I think he's making that play in week 2 on. And I just – the first series out, he's just a second slow to react to that, make that tackle for a loss.
Yeah, I thought Josh Pascal played a heck of a football game. I mean, he didn't, you know, didn't get a high number of tackles, or he didn't get a quarterback sack. But I thought, I mean, that's just the way Auburn plays. I thought he played a heck of a football game. I really did. Josh came out and did his job, played his assignment. And, you know, he got close to Nix a few times, but Kentucky didn't register a sack. And that kind of – you know what surprised me, and I thought Nick and I talked about this on the depth chart, is, you know, I was a lot higher on Bo Nix than most people were going into the game. But the ability of Bo Nix to throw from the pocket really surprised me. But football happens, and he got a lot better from his freshman to sophomore year. He stepped up in the pocket and made a lot of good throws. So, you know, but Auburn, you know, talking about good things, 30 rushes for 91 yards. Kentucky held Auburn to less than 100 yards rushing, and Auburn was trying to attack the perimeter. So that kind of took Quinn Bohanna out of the game a little bit, because, you know, going around the edges. But I thought Bohanna played the 2-gap well, and
he did.
He's going to need to do that, because Ole Miss rushed for 170-something yards. So it wasn't all through the air for the Rebels. So I think they need to continue to do what they're doing. But Kentucky's going to have to find a way to have at least 3 sacks against Ole Miss and put some pressure on Corral.
Chuck, what do you think went right for the Cats on Saturday?
I thought that our run defense was good. I just feel like we need to have – where was Boogie Watson? I mean, we need some outside pressure, or, God, maybe play some man and blitz a corner, a cat, or – I just didn't see much of that pressure. And when we did get back there, I just feel like our D linemen are so big that Nix could just kind of escape and, you know, players get open. I get that. We were playing a lot of zone, which we like to do. But
right.
I just think you have to have turnovers. And I, the defense can play a good 0 turnovers. Granted, the 4th-and-1 stop, I mean, I guess that's a turnover in a sense. But you got to have a pick or a fumble or something.
Yeah, yeah.
They definitely did. I think Bo Nix is good in that receiving corps. Great. Like I said earlier, when you lose the turnover battle 3-0 away in an SEC game, odds are you're not winning that.
Yeah, and I watched most of the game last night because I was thinking the same thing. Like, it felt like it's like, where was the pressure at? And really, they actually got after him pretty well. But what would end up happening is they would run quick, get it out of it. I mean, they were really big on getting it out of Nix's hands quickly. And I mean, hell, there was one time where Josh hit him at the hip and just fell off. But Boogie, he actually, like, he did a lot of things really well in run support, which isn't necessarily his strength. But I think a lot of those is like, especially with defensive line, things just move faster. I think that's going to come. I'm confident it'll get better. And I'm glad that they did start blitzing more as the game went on. There was one 3rd-and-long where they just rushed 3, and it's like, come on. Are we just – I get that these guys are good, but come on. We got to get after them. Let's pin our ears back a little bit. But Kentucky, their defense, I think their defense will improve. What I really like, too, early on in that first drive, there was some monster box, Drew. I mean, Luke Fortner absolutely de-cleated a dude on that screen pass to Josh Ali. And then on the Kavassi smoke touchdown, Drake just he chipped a guy, and when he chipped him, he blew him like 3 yards off the field onto his butt, and then went and made another block and just let smoke go 40 yards for a touchdown. It was incredible.
I don't know. I guess he can't hear you. But then I'm blocking him. And not to switch topics to Terry, I thought Terry did play well. And I think you've kind of tweeted at some people that, you know, have said, but what about these two plays? Those plays are going to happen, but God, you have two free plays and we throw a net total of 4 yards. I mean, two-yard passes. I get it. Sometimes you don't know if they're called offsides. I don't know. I just feel like we've got to have receivers step up and win the one-on-one matchups where we can throw it deep. I remember there was a ball Terry tried to throw deep, and it was like triple coverage to Josh Ali. I'm going, God, that we're lucky that's not a pick.
Yeah.
I don't see
it. That was him throwing from the end zone, too. He's just like, I'm going to throw it 50 yards in field. Like, why the hell not?
But I thought Terry did look good, very composed. You know, that fumble just comes from not playing and not taking those hits. And I mean, obviously it's one you want to get back. But all in all, I think he played a good game and definitely didn't surprise me with how well he played, but looked good. I thought he was going to look good, but I think, you know, rust is off now and he's going to unleash.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, get receivers to make.
And Freddie, I like the way that Eddie kind of eased him in. I know folks got kind of mad at the screens, but like I said, Luke Fortner just blasted a dude into the next century. So, like, they started working. And then he took some shots downfield and connected on one to Allen Daly. That was a beautiful pass on third down. And then you had one to Josh Ali that was a sail route that hit him in the hands. And then you had another deep ball that he missed a little bit outside and Josh went out of bounds right away. But most of those shots down the field, like there was the third and long after the Upshaw penalty. I mean, it hit Epps in the numbers. Like you got to make some plays out there. You know, the passing game isn't just on Terry Wilson.
Yeah, I thought Terry did a lot of good things. I really did. I mean, he completed 64% of his passes, threw for 239 yards. I mean, I thought he did some good things. I mean, there's nobody going to be harder on Terry than Terry is on himself today. You know, he knows he's got to clean up the fumble, and he knows, you know, I'm sure he knows about the interception. I mean, you know, he's a bigger critic on himself than other people are. So he's just got to clean that up. But I thought he did a lot of good things, and he just needs to build on that. I know that's coach speak and generic, but he just needs to build on the good things that he did. But Nick, you're exactly right. The passing game is an 11-man operation. I thought the offensive line did a tremendous job in pass blocking.
They really did.
And we knew they could run block, but they pass blocked their tails off. And, you know, Charles, I mean, you got to separate when you get downfield. I mean, you know that better than everybody else. So,
yeah, I agree. And I think that Stoops did talk about it, that the pick is – because a receiver had a missed assignment. So,
yeah,
you know, you throw that ball thinking there's going to be no one there and you have a receiver run a, you know, three receivers run three flats and then there's a guy there. It looks like it's all Terry's fault, but in a sense, it's really not. So.
Yeah. And we saw Isaiah Cummings got added to the depth chart. I have a feeling he won't be the only freshman that gets a little action today or next week against Ole Miss. I think you'll probably see Keaton Upshaw get a few more targets. And then Bryce Oliver was out. Stoops didn't specify why, but just that he's now day-to-day. He was listed as first on the depth chart. DeMarcus Harris did some okay things until he fumbled it. There's another chance to kind of get back closer. So, you know, it's one of those things that, like, a lot of these mistakes, like, You knew that you would get some in week one and you hoped that they weren't catastrophic mistakes, but they are against the number eight team in the country. And we can kind of beat a dead horse on, hey, they should have done this here. And like the one that I have never seen before. And I freely grant you, I lost my mind while watching the game, was on the 2-point conversion when Terry threw out of bounds. It's like, Terry, wait, I like that you're not taking sacks anymore, but like, you know, you can try to like force it a little bit on a 2-point play. Like, you're not getting this play back.
That was one where right when he threw it, everyone, you know, kind of is going, what? He's an idiot. I'm like, well, I guess it probably doesn't help that you had this same kind of play 30 minutes ago and you threw a pick. You get called back. I mean, I agree. It's kind of with those two free plays. Take the shot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only, you can be a quarterback and try to slide something in there. And if it does get picked and tackled, it's like, I mean, you're supposed to do that. So, yeah, that one was best. I will tell you what was awesome. DeAndre Square on that 4th-and-1, get in there, ruffle up, get that guy down. That was – and a pivotal point in the game. I mean, that was an awesome stop.
Yeah. It was a good run blitz call too. I mean – and it was cool that he was by number 22 as well, like right at the perfect time.
Yeah, but I think, you know, we're taking away the pot. I mean, Kentucky went toe-to-toe, pretty much an even match, even ball game through three quarters after getting a touchdown taken away. I mean, that's got to be a positive. You know, things broke down in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's been well documented. We've documented it on this podcast. But, you know, Kentucky went to Auburn and through three quarters plus. You know, it was an even ball game. It was, you know, it was whoever, you know, whoever finished the best, unfortunately for Kentucky, Auburn did. But, you know, I think you got to look at that as well.
Yeah, we're efforting to get Drew back on here. Drew's had his power go out off and on all day, which just sounds like hell on earth to deal with. So, I have a feeling he'll kick the something around and maybe like unplug something and plug it back in. Usually that works. But there is one thing I want to get to, because in this segment, it's going to be brought to our friends by Midnight Rooster. They got the best CBD products on the market. Midnight Rooster, you can put it in your beard to get it thicker. I know that, like, I have the kind of worst beard in the history of the world. It's nowhere near Drew Franklin's. That can just get nice and soft. They also have the kind that you can take before you go to sleep. You get a great night full of rest. Or if you just got regular aches and pains, Freddie, I know that arthritis acts up. Try a little Midnight Rooster CBD oil. It's MIDNITERooster.com, and it'll make you feel better. It's the feel-good cure for all.
Sounds good. I'll use some. Definitely.
Now, this is – they're sponsoring the segment. Instead of keys of the week, this is overreactions, because it's Overreaction Monday. Everybody is losing their minds, and I actually think Drew might be here. Drew, have you lost your mind?
I'm about to. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
You hear me now.
You
sound like a little frustrated.
Are you in your car?
Since I started this podcast, I've already been to Frederick Douglass High School and back, trying to find it somewhere in the vicinity of where I live, and I cannot find any. So we're just going to do whatever this is working. I'm going to stay right here.
Well, Drew, what do you think is the best worst overreaction on the day, 2 days after a loss?
Have you all gone first since I just popped up, or am I the first one to give mine?
You get first dibs, Drew, because you've earned it after fighting the internet.
Yes. The overreaction in a minute will be me putting my fist through my TV because I can't get on this podcast. But other than that, how about those overreactions to Terry Wilson on the postgame show? I don't know if you all got to listen, but there were a lot of people ready to already go to Bo Allen or Joey Gatewood or Sawyer Smith or whoever wants to take a snap. I couldn't believe how many fans had already given up on Terry just over a couple bad turnovers, but not a horribly bad game.
Well, and Freddie named the stats earlier. Like, if you would have told me that Terry threw for 260 yards and completed 65% of his passes, I probably would have thought Kentucky would have won. Where I think it's just easy to just blame the quarterback because he had bad turnovers. But, like, as Jared used to say, like, I don't know how you all used to put up with me, because he threw, like, I don't know, 20 interceptions his first year. But the backup quarterback, it's an easy go-to. What I think hurt Terry is, like, Freddie, I don't think going into this game that Eddie Grand planned on Terry Wilson getting more rushing attempts than any other player on the team. And I tried to go back, and I think some of it was just the offense didn't have any favors of short field position. They were starting in some bad spots. But the run game really failed to get going in that second half, and I don't think it benefited. It gave Terry any crutches to kind of lean on whatsoever.
Yeah, Kentucky averaged 3.6 yards a carry. I thought Kentucky would have had to rush for over 200 yards to win the game. Rush for what, 150?
Something like that.
Yeah, you know, and in the second half especially, Kentucky got off schedule. You know, mm-hmm. through a lot of first down passes and things that Kentucky's not really comfortable with, and I think that also limited what they did. And, you know, Terry had 37 attempts. That, you know, I don't know if that's a good number or not. That's a lot of passes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think getting off schedule forced Terry to run quite a bit.
Well, and Drew, to your point, like, all those folks are wanting Bo Allen or Joey Gatewood. A, the grass is probably 9.5 times out of 10 never greener on the other side, especially when it comes to quarterback play. But when you look at this roster, okay, and you look at your playmakers, your guys who are difference makers, if Kentucky's going to have one of those guys, if they're going to have a Benny Snell or a Lynn Bowden, who you put the ball in their hands when you need big plays to happen, the best candidate for that is Terry Wilson. There's not another guy on this offense who's going to just all of a sudden become this world beater. I think A.J. Rose, I was really happy to see him catch passes out of the backfield, and I saw him lower his shoulder and knock K.J. Britt backwards at the line of scrimmage. But, like, is he a Benny Snell? Like, you can just feed him in the second half? No, he's not. If there's going to be a guy that's going to take you to the next place, it's got to be Terry. And to expect that in his first game after not playing football for a year, it's frankly just ridiculous. And I think that we can come across as like, oh, you guys just love Terry. He's like, no, we're just not idiots who are just screaming for the next man up because, oh, we lost a game. You know what? If I had a nickel for every time Kentucky lost to a top 10 team on the road in the SEC, I'd be jangling everywhere I walked, because that happens, folks. It does. Now calm the hell down. Well, I need to calm the hell down. Sorry.
Charles, you're a numbers guy. Terry threw for 243 yards and rushed for 43. So that's what, 286?
Yeah.
All right, Kentucky had 382 total yards.
So he had almost percentage of all of them.
That's your guy right there.
Yeah. So yeah, that you know, number statistics tell the truth. So you can look at it that way. You know, I think Terry did a lot of good things, and Nick, you're exactly right. He is the most explosive player that Kentucky has right now.
And okay, I think I've gotten off my soapbox. I want to stand in another soapbox, and I don't know if this is an overreaction. I think it is, but there was a time when I was very mad on Saturday that I was like, well, Stoops, he's going to regret not hiring a special teams coach. You had the swinging gate play that never works, and it worked, and then you had Bo Nix's punts that kept getting down at the 1 yard line or whatever. And then you had the fake punt that didn't work. And Drew, I was just like, are we going to go through this rigmarole where the special teams just stinks all year? And am I overreacting?
No, but I think we all overreacted in that moment. I think it looked like on television, at least to the naked eye in that moment, that either Mark Stoops made a horrible call or Max Duffy went way off the grid and made a horrible decision. We've since heard Stoops explain that a little better. The tape shows there might have been a missed block there, that it did have potential, and it wasn't quite as terrible as it looked out. But hell, it sure did look pretty bad. But I think that will be there, continue to be there throughout the year. And I hope that one time it's falling apart, they don't just give up on it. Because I think that having Max Duffy with a little bit of a green light to run when he sees an opening, I think that's a big asset they should keep using this season.
Charles, do you, is there like – because I believe you were there the last time Stoops did this, where a special teams coach left, and then he just said, we're going to spread the duties around. Am I right that you were there for that?
Yeah, different coaches had a different aspect of the game. I think it was after Niver left.
That sounds right, yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's a bad way to do it, but I will say after Bo's second punt, well, you know, the first one is kind of – it was a good punt for the seven, and it looked like our guys were just surprised. You know, they didn't know what was going on. I don't know if they showed that on film last year or not, but then the second one came up, and it was like, all right, we know what they're doing before the snap. They snapped the ball, and literally our D linemen were just standing there. Like, no one was even rushing, so they're just standing there. Bo Nix hasn't moved. He has the ball. He holds it for 3 seconds. Let's the receivers get downfield, then they stop it at the 2-yard line. I mean, is there not someone where we can coach to say, hey, even though you're not going to block it, you need to still rush? I mean, what world? Like, that one.
Or can we not put the free safety just like 30 yards downfield to just catch it? That,
it's, you know, some of my friends are saying, well, we need to get a returner in there. I'm like, yeah, how is the hell is that going to work? Just a returner is going to be standing 30 yards back, and we're going to have a safety rush off the field, and he's going to rush in. I'm like, you can't really do that. But, and then you get into, all right, do you trust the safety to return one of these punts that's going to be a bouncer that could go God knows where? I mean, yeah. No. How about we get some pressure so Bo Nix holding the ball for 4 seconds and then can leisurely punt the ball?
That's a good point.
30 yards down to the 2-yard line where there's 3 guys waiting to just stop it. It's like, God, got to be something we can do.
I would have trusted Boss Man Fat back there. I think he would have picked it up and then ran it to the house, Drew. Easy said and done.
So am I alone in still believing in Boss Man Fat? I appreciate you believing him in this fake hypothetical situation here, but are you still on board with me?
Oh, all the way.
Okay.
I'm on board just turn punts.
Freddie and I exchanged messages after the game, and I was really venting to Freddie about Boss Man. I hope he doesn't share all the things I said, because as a fan, I can be critical, but I am still excited for what's to come. And I agree that he would have made a play in that situation, and he would make a play in any situation. He just needs to keep talking a little bit more to build up his confidence, and then it will eventually come out.
There's another defensive back. I think I'm going to give him another week, but I'm worried about him. And I'm really worried about him. There's a lot of diving at feet trying to make tackles, and you just can't do that. So I'm going to give him another week, though, before I get mad. But there's some misplays out there that's like, buddy, come on now. And I think there's also something to be said, too, of like, we don't know how many reps these guys have even gotten in practice, like going into this. Because we heard a lot of good things early in camp about Vito Tisdale. He didn't get in the game. We heard things about Donut Drennan. Maybe Donut wasn't even available. Like, that's the thing that sucks about dealing with the COVID and the pandemic and everything is there's a lot of uncertainties. But I do feel like we learned more about our teams and other teams. And my favorite overreaction is that we'll be lucky to win 3 games this year. You see how good them Mississippi schools are. They're going to score 1,000 points on our defense.
That's why I don't listen to the call-in show after the games.
Well, in Freddie, like, I know that they scored 600, both of the Mississippi schools had 600 yards of offense, but like, I mean, it's just because you're good in week one and you caught some teams off guard doesn't mean that now that you've got some film out there that the defense can't figure something out. Like, it just aggravates me to no end that because Vanderbilt actually played with Texas A&M that all of a sudden Derek Mason's got a giant killer out there. Like, it drives me absolutely insane.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of overreactions week one. especially, you know, with the Mississippi schools. You know, Ole Miss got a lot of the yards kind of when the game was out of hand too. So, I mean, you can look at that. But still, that's impressive against the Todd Grantham defense, what they did. You know, had a 14-14 tie there in the first quarter and then came down and scored a couple times pretty quick in the third quarter. But, yeah, you get some film on them and see how they do, especially, you know, like I said, Kentucky's going to have to limit their possessions by turnovers, sacks, and then long drives on the offensive side and take away. Kentucky's going to have to take away a lot of their possessions because Ole Miss can score fast now.
Yeah, and we can get out of overreactions presented by our good friends at Midnight Rooster, which I've just been I don't want to be mad anymore, Drew. And it kind of, I think it helped that we did have Mike Leach throwing the football all over the yard right after UK's game because it was fun to watch. And it also was like exhibit A of how not to guard an air raid offense. LSU basically did everything wrong. But the Pirate, did you see him on the bandwagon this morning, Drew?
Listen, I am obsessed with the Pirate, and I watched every minute of that game Saturday. I was rooting for Mississippi State. This is weird to me because I'm supposed to hate Mississippi State. I hate Starkville. They're kind of a UK rival, but it's Mike Leach, man, and he's been a lot of fun so far. 600 yards in his first game with a quarterback I don't really know anything about. Are you kidding me? It's going to be a long ride with him in the SEC West.
Man, that Egg Bowl might be like 75-80. I mean, they had 1,200 yards of offense combined, both teams, 79 points. And, like, Colin Hill, he caught more passes than he rushed for, and he's all SEC running back. It was just – it was crazy. And I think the most fun out of all of those games wasn't the most fun game, but it was just the ending of it. If you all stayed up late to watch Tennessee-South Carolina, it was the most classic – Will Muschamp implosion ever, Charles. Like, it was just the most perfect way for a Will Muschamp team to lose a football game.
Crazy. And I think it's on the returner there, so I don't know. It was
if y'all didn't see it, there was a – South Carolina, they got the one stop they needed to make Tennessee punt. They would have to go, like, 80 yards to score a touchdown in 2 minutes. They probably weren't going to do that. That Colin Hill, Stephen Garcia lookalike, not the best guy, but they would have at least had a chance. And on the final punt, one of the guys just – I mean, I don't know how – I guess the returner didn't call Peter or whatever, and the ball bounces off the ground, hits the South Carolina Gamecock, Tennessee falls on it, game over.
I actually had a Tennessee watch party that I didn't approve in my house. There were three Vols fans in full Vols colors, and when the game was over, somehow Rocky Top was playing from my speakers, and I had to kick everyone out. But I want to get that off my chest that I was part of that during that game, and I am not proud of it.
Oh, no, Drew. Did Frank just, like, commandeer your house? Did Franco just say, we're singing Rocky Top tonight?
But, you know, as you and I and Freddie and the other people with the website, we usually need a couple hours to get our work done after a UK game ends. It's not partying for us. And I was awake doing my writing, had my headphones on, and next thing I know, I walk in the kitchen and people just invited themselves over for a little Vols watch party. And I'm still dealing with that right now. I don't know if I'll ever speak to my father again. But since you brought that game up, I wanted you all to know that that's what I had to deal with. And, yes, I watched it end. I watched just about every play. Not that afraid of them, but it was hard watching them that way.
Yeah. I'm not that afraid of either of those teams. I love watching Will Muschamp lose, though. It's one of my favorite national pastimes. And if nothing else that this weekend taught us, Freddie, it's going to be a hard-ass season. There aren't any easy wins out there.
No, there's not. I mean – You know, I mean, everybody was counting on the Mississippi schools being a win, but, you know, they look pretty daggone good, you know. So, yeah, I mean, there's really Missouri is the only team that I watched on Saturday that I was like, I don't think, you know, I mean, no disrespect to Missouri, but I just – Drinkowitz is in a total rebuild mode, just put it that way. And plus, they were playing Alabama, if it says anything.
Yeah, yeah. And Alabama is probably the one team that really is in another kind of stratosphere. But I might be giving Louisville more credit than they deserve, but they're into 3 weeks into this. Now, they did have Western as a nice little easy starter, but I think they're seeing just the kind of physical toll of getting into conference play week in and week out. It's only 3 weeks in. But I really believe that it's just going to be nonstop madness in college football this year because it's going to be so many conference games. Teams are going to get worn out. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be people out with COVID to where, like, you don't know what's going to happen. You might be Oklahoma and up about 21 points and then blow a lead in the fourth quarter. Like, you never know. Yeah. You could be Texas Tech up by 15 with 3 minutes left. You throw your horns down and just like that. You're done. So,
yeah,
college football is going to be crazy this year.
You mentioned Alabama, Nick. I thought Florida looked pretty daggone good too.
Kyle Pitts, man, that dude is—he's on another
level. He's pretty good. Yeah, yeah, he's pretty good.
51 points. It's kind of like I think I saw where Spurrier gave Mullen. I hate that Spurrier is still at Florida. Like, can we just like get him out of there to where he's like in a place where we can like him? Like, I want to like him, but he's like, he's over there giving Dan Mullen little shots of wine or little wine champagne bottles, like congratulating him. It's like, stop, Steve. Jeez, come on. But nevertheless, it's the good thing is we can kind of wash this loss over us. Like, you can just, it's almost like Drew, a chaser. Like, if you just get that chaser for like a really nasty, like early times or Kentucky Tavern, just to like, you got the bad out of the way. You learned, hey, don't take the Kentucky Tavern next time. Let's upgrade a little bit. And that's what Kentucky is doing this week against Ole Miss. A chance to learn and improve against a defense that's not very good.
If you want a positive twist on it, yes, there were some huge mistakes made, but at least they were made at number 8 Auburn on the road instead of a game you're supposed to win and you maybe make up and you drop a game to a Missouri or a Vandy. It's a game, realistically, I know we talked ourselves into it, but it's a game Kentucky was probably going to lose. So, yeah, it happened. Suck it up. Let's move on and make sure you don't do it again because there's some games they can still win. And I think there's still a lot of upsets on the table that can make this a fun season.
No, definitely, definitely. And I think a lot of folks were just like, man, you can have a 6-4 season and spend it all in the top 25 if you just split Auburn and Tennessee and win one of those. And, of course, that's on the table. You can make a huge splash. But, I mean, the Mississippi schools now. Like, now that Leach is on the map, like, there's plenty of greatness up for grabs, if you will. So, yeah. Charles, it's – man, I have a feeling when we do this podcast, it's flip of the coin. Who knows what we're going to be feeling like each Monday this week, this year, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of like what you said, the whole COVID, people missing. I mean, Notre Dame canceled their whole game because I guess they had an outbreak and 50 people had it, 50 players had it or something. You know, Freddie said it best. We're going to have to score points this week to beat a high-powered Ole Miss offense. I'm looking forward to seeing what we got.
You know, Nick, there's always been four phases of the game. I know everybody knows offense, defense, special teams, but weather is the fourth phase of the game. And Kentucky could sure use some of that weather it had last year in a few of these games, you know, especially against Ole Miss, Mississippi State. You know, if it decided to rain, that would be okay. But, yeah, and then, you know, now you have to add – the COVID situation, which, you know, they're saying September is going to be the worst month we've had. So, you know, who knows how all that's going to work out.
Get your flu shots, folks. Just do that. It's a good idea every year, particularly this year. And hell, the Virginia Tech, they were down 23 players from COVID and they went out and won a football game. Mike.
Yeah.
This year is going to be bizarre, and this week Kentucky gets a chance to get a little redemption against Lane Kiffin. Drew, do you remember the last time Kentucky played a Lane Kiffin coach football team?
If it was in Knoxville, I was there because I remember a big Lane Kiffin game and going to the ball walk with him and his wife and kids walking through when he was brand new, and they were acting like he's going to save the program. So I'd say it's either that one or the time he won in Lexington.
That he won, I know that. I thought he was only there for a year, but if I'm correct,
maybe I can wait to say.
I think that one of the games was the Randall Cobb doesn't score near the goal line game, or that like Randall Cobb got down there and they quit giving him the football.
Yeah, it was. I was at that game, and I remember the celebration by the Tennessee players and seeing Kiffin walk off the field after Randall Cobb got him down there. He didn't get the ball in the red zone, and especially near the goal line, and Tennessee won. Scored on the first play of overtime and beat Kentucky. So, yeah.
Well, a chance for redemption to send Lane Kiffin packing. Randall Cobb got his first touchdown with the Texans yesterday, though.
Mike Edwards had an interception.
One-handed. It's good looking.
Yeah. In the end zone. Then you had Zadarius was dominating in the night game.
Yep.
Drew, can you explain to me how Derrick Henry at like 275 pounds or whatever in the hell he is jumped into the end zone like he did yesterday?
No, I cannot. But I can't imagine being on the other side of that line of scrimmage as there is an airborne Derrick Henry coming at me. That might be the day I quit playing football. I just, before we hopped on the air, back when I had internet, before KU and the power went out in my neighborhood, I listened to Mike Vrabel's press conference today, and Derrick Henry is on pace for 450 carries, which would shatter the record, and they asked if they're going to dial it back, and he said, no, we're going to break that record. You get ready for more Derrick Henry this year.
Wait, speaking of big boys, how did we not know that Auburn had a 300-pound tight end for the game? My goodness, dude was a load.
That was the biggest.
That slipped past our radar, huh?
I mean, the fact that they showed him on the kickoff, too, is really funny. Like, because he did the thing, Chuck, where he ran for, like, the first 15 yards, and it was like, oh, this is a touchback. I'm good.
Yeah, he reminded me of Goro from Mortal Kombat. I mean, that was the biggest guy I've ever seen that could move like crazy.
I think he was eating some of that chicken fried bacon, Freddie. Maybe a few too many pieces of that.
Yeah, that Cole had, exactly.
What was he doing sitting on the ground? All that I feel like he was on the ground a lot during the game.
I don't know. I need to ask him about that.
Oh, man. Well,
did you all see his mask thing that he posted on Instagram?
I did not.
Yeah, his mask. He had a tan.
Oh, yeah. He has a great tan from where he wore a mask on the sideline all day. It's only going to get worse all year. The bottom half of his face is white and the top half is red. Great look for Cole.
Which we need to remind folks, if you're going to the game at Kroger Field Saturday, wear your mask. You have to do that. And you can't wear a neck gaiter or a bandana. Those aren't good enough to keep the COVID out. So you've got to wear a mask that wraps around your ears to keep it away. You got to keep them on, except if you're eating or drinking in your seat. You also have to answer a little medical questionnaire when you get there. And if you want to get tickets are still available. I didn't see the exact number, Drew, but single game tickets are available for all five home games. I know a lot of folks were worried that they wouldn't get to go to games this year. But, you know, a lot of people, they know that, like, hey, we probably shouldn't go out and about. So go get your ticket. If you want to see the Cats in person, you have your opportunities this fall.
Yeah, and having talked to people who have gone to games at other places, it ended up being a pretty fun atmosphere. I questioned all summer if it would be worth being here, if you're spaced out and not sit with people you're used to sitting with. I've heard people that were at the Auburn game and some others that it's still fun being socially distant. So hopefully UK fans will pack it and bring some noise.
Oh, and Stoops is ready to he's ready to fire up and pump in some crowd music. He's like, hey, whatever we got to get it to, I'm making sure they're cranking it as loud as we can get it. So it should be a doozy for a 4 o'clock kickoff this Saturday at the Krogue, the first game at Kroger Field, going up against the Ole Miss Rebels, Matt Corral, and that high-powered Lane Kiffin offense. If you like what you listened to today, we got plenty of more podcasts previewing that game throughout the week. 11 personnel on Tuesday, free money on Wednesday, and the depth chart with me and Freddie on Thursday. So plenty more action for you to get to throughout the week, because this is a bounce back week. We learned our mistakes in week one. We learned, hey, you can't have your power go out all the time, but we're figuring it out, and we're pushing past those obstacles. We're kicking over the hurdles, and we're getting right in week two.
Exactly, and we're going west on Friday.
Yeah, Western Kentucky. Well, is Bowling Green in Western Kentucky, Freddie?
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of right in – yeah, I would consider it Western Kentucky. I get Drew. Drew's the expert. He's from down there.
Is Bowling Green count?
Since Western Kentucky University, is there, it's kind of hard to take Western Kentucky away from them. But it'd be sketchy on calling them Western. I'll say that. We include them, but they're not invited to every family reunion.
We were up north last Friday, Nick.
Yeah, yeah. Johnson Central, man, pretty like – if you had, I know the story got posted about an hour before kickoff, so y'all probably missed it. But like, a player's parent passed away while they were on the way up there from Johnson yeah. Central to Northern Kentucky, and they still got the win over Simon Kenton. Powerful stuff. And the Johnson yeah. Central football team, they're one of the best teams in the state, Freddie.
Yeah, you know, and I sent you that text after the first two drives that Grant Bingham's a dude, man, and that. He can go. I mean, I rarely do I see a prospect play that they exceed my expectation, but he exceeded expectation that I had. And I knew he was a great player, you know, Kentucky, Notre Dame, Michigan, everybody in the world offered him, but mm-hmm. he's better than I even thought. I mean, he is the real deal, buddy.
Well, and you got a couple UK recruits playing on Friday. Jordan Dingle is a tight end for Bowling Green that has a UK offer. He's our top in-state recruit remaining in 2021 class. Yeah, 2021 class. And then a junior, 2022, the quarterback, Cade Veldkamp. He's got a UK offer, but his mom went to Duke and his dad was a strength coach for Bobby Petrino for like a decade or so at Louisville and Western. So got a lot of ties elsewhere. But nevertheless, I'm anxious to see what you see from those two UK prospects on Friday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Can't get down to Bowling Green.
Should be a great weekend of football. Great week to get ready. We got a hell of a Monday night football game tonight, too. Which, by the way, if y'all aren't checking out games at KS Bar and Grill, we got a great setup over there. And on Thursday nights, like Thursday night football, $10 buckets of beer, like hell of a place. You'll get $10 buckets of beer. Charles Walker, especially during football games. So, like, I mean, come on.
That's true. I've seen him. I've seen them as low as 12, never 10.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
It's a hell of a deal. And then before the game on Saturday, I'm sure we'll have the pregame show out there. Big tent, first come, first serve. So, come on by, say hi, socially distance, wear that mask, and enjoy some football. It's going to start feeling like fall this week around the bluegrass, maybe a little sweater weather. And you know what? That's that fourth element that we're waiting on, Freddie. It's going to be just in time for the Cats to kick Ole Miss's ass on Saturday.
There you go. Bring on the rain.
And with that, we're going to call it a day on the KSR Football Podcast. We'll be back before you know it. Big thanks to our friends at Midnight Rooster and UK Federal Credit Union, who's presenting the KSR Football Podcast this fall. For Freddie Magger, Drew Franklin, and Charles Walker, I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats! Go Kroger.
And peep the technique. Don't sweat the technique.